Good morning and welcome to the Daily Ding. Happy Wednesday, everybody. We've got your Hawks Bucks Eastern Conference Finals Game 4 action all covered. I'm Dave DeFore. I'm joined as I am every single week on those Wednesday mornings by Mo DeKeel. What's up, Mo?
Oh, not a whole lot, Dave. Just another wild night in the NBA playoffs.
Well, you know, look, you and I found out Trae Young was going to miss this game, and we started texting immediately. And I said, all right, Mo, we may be able to have an early night tonight. This is going to be a blowout.
This is, you know what, Milwaukee, this one's on us.
It is.
This it's one's on us. And you know what? We should know better, Dave. Nothing has gone according to plan at all in these playoffs.
And it didn't go according to plan tonight for the Milwaukee Bucks. Let's just throw that out there right now. No Trae Young. And honestly, Mo, it was no problem for Atlanta. They came out of the gate just with steam coming out of their face. I mean, they were just absolutely intense. And it showed, man. They were on fire.
I mean, look, they held Milwaukee to 38 points at the half, you know, and they had 49. I'm sorry, 51, excuse me. They came out literally looking for a fight. And the Bucks thought, hey, no Trae Young, we're going to be able to roll. This happens a lot to teams, you know, and you let down when somebody's not, you know, the star player isn't there. He's not going to be there. You find out 2 or 3 hours before the game. It's almost human nature. You kind of let off a little bit. But, man, the Hawks came out swinging. It wasn't even close. I believe they won this game wire to wire. Like, it was the way they kind of just came out, took over and stepped up in a way, Dave, where it was just like, listen, we're going to make shots and we're going to defend our asses off.
Yeah, they got a 13-point lead in that first half, held the Bucks to just 38 first-half points. I mean, the defense for the Hawks is not the first thing that we would ever bring up in a conversation about this team. But I have to say that, like, the games that they're winning in the playoffs has very much been about the way they're defending. And this was no different, man. I thought that they were excellent at staying home when they needed to stay home. It was just smart, tough defense.
And it was just aggressive. They were into you. The play where Cam Reddish, jeez, I made him a vegetable. Cam Reddish pokes the ball away from Middleton. Like, he's up in Middleton. You know, there's no room for him, you know, and just so many plays like that, doing a great job, you know, showing a wall to Giannis, which is the first time this series they've kind of built a wall. You know, I thought overall in the first half, just everything was going. I was watching it going like, wow. And then the other thing that's just disappointing, Dave, is like, if you're the Milwaukee Bucks, you got to look at this going like, this is our chance right now. Let's take control of this series. Let's go up 3-1. They don't have Trae Young. We took control last time. We can do it again. Let's go. And they really just showed up very flat.
I agree with that. And then worst case scenario happens in the third quarter. You know, the Bucks are fighting back. Giannis starts getting it going. And then there is a play at the basket. And Clint Capella lands a little bit awkwardly into Giannis's knee and actually hyperextends that knee. And look, he was down for a while. It looked bad on the replay. I mean, everyone here has either seen a hyperextended knee or seen that one, I'm assuming. It was really, really bad, Mo. And he somehow walked off the court. That's good news, I guess. We don't know. We won't know until we hear some reporting on that knee. But Mo, I'm not expecting him to be able to play in the next game. That really looked awful.
That looked really bad. I mean, I'm with you, Dave, and his reaction to it and everything. There's no way to sugarcoat this. You know, and everybody's going to try. Oh, he came back to the bench and then he went back, you know, to the locker room and things like that, walking on it. We won't know really till we get the MRI results and things like that. And I think you and I are going to get it first, Dave. I think we're going to get the MRI results before everybody else. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see, though, like, what it goes. I don't think he's going to play game 5. I'm not sure if Trae Young is going to play game 5. But the big thing about that, though, Dave, was, and we've seen this in other series, you know, that just took the wind completely out of the Bucks. You know, they look shook after that. The Hawks went on a big run right after that, really kind of put the game away from there. And I mean, the Bucks are going to be going back and having to search for answers now.
Yeah, and I will say this. You know, the rest of that third quarter, you're right. The Bucks tried to come back. The Hawks just really handled them. Or the Bucks were kind of flat, and the Hawks just handled them. But then the Bucks did try to fight back. I thought the beginning of the fourth, they had some things going. The Hawks did not care. It didn't matter. Like, the Hawks are actually pretty good, and everyone on this team contributed. Clint Capella had 15, Lou Williams with 21, Bogdanovich with 20, Herter with 15, Cam Reddish with 12 off the bench, Gallinari with 10 off the bench, and every single guy on this team that touched the ball was doing good stuff for them, and it didn't matter down the stretch. Every single guy that touched the basketball was able to do something with it. The Bucks didn't have enough juice on the defensive end down the stretch either.
Yeah, no, I mean, all of it, you know, and Giannis is such an important piece to both sides of the ball. It's a big loss for the Bucks to try to have to figure out. But yeah, we also got to go back to the Hawks. Like, on way, you gave them great minutes in the first half, you know, and did some great stuff on offense and defense. Reddish with 12, like, you know, this was a team win if you're the Hawks. Like, you got to feel confident and feel really good about everything going into game five. If you're the Hawks, feeling like, hey man, like, we can do this again. And this team's cocky enough, got the swagger, got all that stuff, that I really feel like they could. And if you told them, hey, we're not going to have Trey for game five, they're going to be like, that's fine. We're good. We'll just roll with what we got. And I think a lot of that comes from Nate McMillan kind of setting everything up.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, Mo, we've got game six coming up in the Western Conference Finals. Look, we thought that the Suns were going to wrap this thing up in five. It did not work out that way. What in the heck has happened with the Suns? Why did they go away from what was working so well in those first two games and not nearly as well the last three? I can't put my finger on the difference, Mo, but they've gone away from that effective game plan of the first two games into something else that's not working.
Yeah, well, you know, and you're hinting at it and you're playing the game, but it's Chris Paul, right? And the numbers are out there with the offensive rating when he wasn't there was around 120. When he has been, it's around 97. But here's the thing, and one thing before we even get into the details of everything, also, we made an assumption there. This is the rule for the rest of the playoffs, Dave.
It's true.
No more assumptions. That's true. It. We're done. No more assumptions. You make an assumption, it's guaranteed to be wrong. Phoenix, that one's on Dave and I. And again, when I heard the news Zubac was out, I was like, oh, this is probably going to be a blowout. This is the theme, folks. No assumptions playoffs. That's the rule here on out. But to the technical aspect of it, I think the Clippers have done a great job with how they're defending the pick and roll. You know, they've basically have taken the other three guys out. We're going to play this 2-on-2. We're going to, whether it's Chris Paul or Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton setting the screen, it's only going to be you guys involved in the action. We're not going to open up opportunities for kickouts and things like that. I think they've done a great job, sort of the big kind of being up a little bit to discourage the mid-rangers, or even when they've had to switch, eat up space so that Paul and Booker don't have as much room to get into their mid-range shot or feel comfortable when they're getting it off. And they're doing a good job on DeAndre Ayton kind of taking the lobs away. But I also think the Suns got to do a better job with their pick and rolls. They got to make it easier for Ayton to roll, less crossbacks, find opportunities so that he can just roll straight to the rim. And that would put more pressure on the Clippers defense.
Well, you know, I thought that they were giving up driving lanes in the last game in order to snake back into the middle of the paint. I mean, clearly the scouting report is get to the middle and make a decision. But I'm with you, Mo. I think you've got to actually start running this stuff for Ayton, especially if Zubac isn't out there. Feed that guy. Like, he should have 30 paint points in the next game.
And it's not, and we're not talking post touches.
No.
Right? We're literally just talking like set him up, get opportunities into the rim, into the paint, at least get him in position so that he can get offensive rebounds, you know, and that was a big part with how he scored so far in this series. Just wasn't there in game five. And I think when you're looking ahead to game six, it's along those lines of they got to really kind of find that juice again. But it's, I'll be honest, it's been the last three games it's felt this way with their pick and rolls, and they've been going to it over and over again and not really being as productive.
Well, let me ask you specifically about their pick and rolls. I mean, do you feel like they need to maybe get into more double drags, run some of that very effective Spain pick and roll that has actually been fantastic for them? They've gone away from that largely the last few games. Do you think that's something that we need to see an uptick in?
Yeah, just that stuff. Even just simple actions. Just screen Ayton's man before Ayton goes to set the screen. Like just the simplest things. Run one small action before going into the pick and roll, even double drags, running a double DHO, you know, a handoff, you know, off of a pin down and things like just mix these things up a little bit. Cause right now defensively for the Clippers, it's like, look, we know what's coming for about, you know, 95% of the possessions. We just got to figure out the other five. We'll be fine, you know, and give the Clippers credit too for showing up with a ton of fight and urgency.
Absolutely. And it shows the danger of a team that has a lot of guys who are similarly sized and can switch like they can. And they're also, even their smaller guys are sneaky tough. I mean, you get Patrick Beverley on a switch and you've got a little bit of an advantage. Well, you know, he's going to foul the living hell out of you the entire time you got the ball, and he may not get called for it. The Clippers are going to take advantage of that whenever possible. Like, you know, they're fouling early and often, and if everything's a foul, everything can't get called. And Patrick Beverley has been a prime example of that. And I think that, you know, he's kind of fooled the Suns a little bit on some of these switches.
Yeah, and I think that's been a big part of it too. You know, he's done a great job on Booker and defending him and hassling CP. I mean, Beverley's a pest. At the end of the day, that's just what he is, and we've all known this about him in the league. So I think it's interesting to see how this goes on. But I'm not too worried about the Suns yet. But it's all going to be about how they start Game Six, Dave. If they start out a little bit slow or things like that, that's just going to let the Clipper wave go. And hey, man, this is a different Clippers team than the ones we've seen in years past.
Yeah, and that Game 6 will be tonight, and we're ready to watch it. That's going to do it for today's show, folks. Don't forget about all the pods we've got over at The Athletic. If you haven't already subscribed, go to theathletic.com/dailyding and sign up now. Thank you guys for waking up with us, as you always do. Mo, take it away.
Ding, ding.